In the gospel reading today, we hear about these people from Bethsaida who want the Lord to remain. Can't blame them. If Jesus was there in your neighborhood, you'd want him to hang around too. And yet at the same time, the Lord says, nope, we need to go out to other villages because that's the reason I came. And thanks be to God. It's the realization that he didn't come just for one person or for a few. He came for everybody. So even if we look at the one person who is most appropriate for him to come to and to be with, and that's his mom, he still had to let her go and go move on. So if we have the people from Capernaum and Bethsaida and so on that wanted him to stay, of course they wanted him to stay because he was working miracles and healed all these people and kicked out demons, and what a great guy to have around. Well, that's not why he came, was just to heal people of illness and perform miracles. He came to save our souls. And so we see that even in Samuel, for instance, as we hear the Lord calling Samuel. And we are told, as time went on and Samuel grew, that the Lord didn't allow a single word of his to be without effect. In other words, it wasn't for Samuel's sake. It was for others. And that's the way that any charismatic gift actually is. Any gift that God gives is for the sake of others. It will help us to grow in holiness if we cooperate and use his gift the way that we're supposed to. But we have to recognize within our own selves, whatever gift he gave isn't because we were the best, the brightest, the holiest, the coolest, whatever. Usually it's just kind of the opposite. With our Blessed Lady, obviously, yeah, we can look at her and say, yeah, the gift given to her was because she was the best. But again, it wasn't about her. Our Lord formed her so that she could be the worthy mother of God. But he formed her so that he could come to save not only her, but to save the rest of us who are not worthy. That's the part we have to recognize. And Our Lady, of course, recognized that. That's what you see at the wedding at Cana, when Jesus would not begin his public ministry until his mother approved. And you see that great respect, but she obviously understood fully well that he didn't come here for me. He came here for everybody. But nonetheless, you see the respect he has for his mother, and he would not go forward until she said she was ready for that. So whatever the gift is, we have to keep that in mind, that it's not just given for me. God has called each of us, and he has called each of us in different ways. For most of us, it's not going to be something extraordinary like we heard with Samuel. Maybe in some, he has done something extraordinary like what he did with St. Peter's mother-in-law. Maybe there was some extraordinary intervention that God has worked in your life, got you turned around, and got you on track. And that, again, is a wonderful thing. And that, specifically, you could say, is for you. But it doesn't end with you. You didn't have a conversion merely for your own sake. Yes, God wants you to save your own soul, and that is your first priority, is the salvation of your own soul. But he wants as many as he can have. Once you have turned around, he wants you to bring as many with you as you can. Once you have received his mercy, he wants you to be able to let other people know about his mercy. And that's where you recognize that whatever it is, it's not just for me. So you have an extraordinary call, like with Samuel, but that's because Samuel's task was going to be extraordinary. He was going to have to be a prophet throughout Israel at a time when the people were not obedient to God, at a time when it was very difficult. And so obviously, if that's the case, the call had to be extraordinary because his task was going to be. For most of us, that's not the case. If God is calling us to an ordinary life, then the call is going to be ordinary. But that doesn't mean that he's asking anything less of you than what he was asking of somebody like Samuel, or as we hear, Peter and Andrew and James and John. Yeah, he was calling those men to be apostles or calling Samuel to be a prophet. But that was how they were going to become saints. If God is calling you to be married and raise a family, that is how you are going to become a saint. If God is calling you, whatever gifts he's given to you, to use to be able to talk to other people or to be that example, that's part of how you're going to become a saint. It may not be anything extraordinary. When you stand before the Lord, you may be able to look at him and say, all I did was ordinary things. But if you did it like Saint Therese and did ordinary things with extraordinary love, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. If on the other hand you look at it and say, well, because my call wasn't extraordinary like Samuel or like some of those apostles, well, then I don't have to do anything. Yeah, then we're not going to hear such a positive thing when we stand before him. So whatever the situation in your life, whatever God has given you as far as his gifts, you have to use those the way he wants you to, which then becomes an important point. Ask him what he wants. Don't just assume that you know what he wants. Well, he gave me this, so therefore it must mean that. Not necessarily. All you have to do is read the scriptures and you recognize that some of the gifts that God gave these people, the way that he wanted them to be used was very different from what we might assume on the natural level. So don't get in his way. And definitely don't get arrogant about whatever it is that's been given to you, because it's a gift. It's not about you. And imagine if Samuel would have been walking around saying, wow, I am the greatest in Israel because look at what God gave me. You losers, on the other hand, but I'm okay because I have this gift. No. And obviously none of us would actually say something so stupid, but that doesn't mean we might not kind of think it or that we might not act that way. So we need to be humble with God's gifts. But to be humble doesn't mean bury them. Remember the guy who buried the talent? It didn't go so well for him. So we need to use what God has given to us. We need to recognize it's his gift. And we need to recognize that it's for his glory and for the good of others. And yes, it will be for our good as well, if we cooperate and do what we're supposed to. But always keep in mind, it wasn't given because of any merit of ours. It has nothing to do with us earning it, deserving it, being so good, whatever, none of that. So put all the pride away. Then look at what God has given with humility, and then ask him how he wants you to use these gifts. What is it that's going to be for the good of others and for his glory? So that you can do the best with what God has given to you. That would be his desire for you and for those who will be touched by whatever it is that he's asking of you. So we need to put ourselves behind, need to put ourselves in that lower position. Accept, just like Samuel had to accept, just as St. Peter's mother-in-law had to accept, But to keep in mind, God didn't come just for me. He's come for everybody. And if in his mercy, he is going to use you to be able to bring his message to others, praise him. What a gift. But what a responsibility. So we have to accept as we see these other people have accepted. We need to use his gift the way that he desires for us to use it. In so doing, yes, we will glorify God and we will help others. And we will also become saints ourselves if we're willing to do it as God desires that we would use his gifts.